This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
To Horror Queers. We're talking beaver jokes, we're talking animatronics, and we're talking penis carnage. I'm Joe.
And I'm Trace, and we're talking zombievers.
Oh my god.
Zombievers. Zombievers. I don't know if that's how it goes, but we're talking zombievers, everybody.
I was so tempted to be like, we should just end this episode with a 5-minute rendition of you singing the Zombieverse song, since you sent me all of the lyrics.
No, because I looked it up because I wanted to see what they were, and I was like, because I've seen this movie, this is probably the fifth time that I've seen this movie, and I always forget that it ends with like this fucking
Frank Sinatra bullshit song. It's amazing. This movie is filled with surprises.
I am shocked. I did not expect you to like this movie. And when you messaged me saying it was extremely fun, I was my jaw hit the floor. I was like, oh my god, yay!
See, I don't understand why you would have thought that I wouldn't like it, considering I have talked nonstop about my enthusiasm for Black Sheep, which is the exact same sense of humor as this.
I know, but Black Sheep is also New Zealand, whereas this is hardcore American, and so we talked about how you don't love, like, the broad American humor that much, and so I was just like, it was walking a fine line for me, where I was like, I don't know if you're gonna like this or not, but I hope you do, but I'm gonna tell you you won't, so maybe you'll, like, try to like it more.
You were trying to, like, psychologize me from afar.
Everyone, we are discussing this the day before my 31st birthday.
Mm-hmm. 35. So old.
31st.
One birthday. Foot in the ground. Might as well just call it a day.
I'm officially in my 30s now, because when you're actually 30, it doesn't count.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes, that's how it works. No, but so this is my birthday pick. So as you remember, a couple weeks ago, Joe picked Hellraiser Bloodline for his quote-unquote terrible birthday pick that was secretly not that terrible.
Mm-hmm. And this is your equivalency.
Yes, which... And y'all, I say this without a hint of irony. I think Zombievers is a legitimately great movie. It is so much fun. It knows exactly what it is. And if you haven't seen it, it's streaming for free on Amazon Prime, and it's only 77 minutes long.
Yeah, and like, hand to heart, honest to God, this is a movie that does know exactly what it is. It leans into it. And if it's your kind of thing, it's an absolute riot.
And there's actually queer content in this movie, which I completely forgot about.
Yeah, on the spreadsheet, it literally says under the queer content section, none but so funny or so campy, and then I'm watching it, and there's a bunch of different times where I'm just writing down, like, lesbians.
And what's funny is even the gay jokes in the movie, which is mostly between cameoing John Mayer and Bill Burr.
Weird. So weird.
But it's not, like, gay panic, homophobic jokes. It's, like... I mean, it is a joke, but, mm-hmm. like, it's, I think it's handled very well, given the movie we're watching.
Yes, it's in keeping with the tone of this film. And you're right, it's not as though it's an icky gay panic joke. It's more like a you might be a redneck if kind of joke.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, this movie kind of makes fun of everyone, but it also does a pretty good job at subverting expectations in other areas where you're like, oh, you expect it to like go this way with the humor, but then it does the opposite. And it's like, oh, I did not expect this from you, Zombievers.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so much more clever than I was willing to give it credit for. Even into the first couple of minutes, I thought, oh dear, I'm not really sure about this. By the end of it, I was 100% on board with what this movie is serving up. And I love, not to spoil anything, but I love how it all shakes up.
Absolutely. I mean, even down to the final girl trope that it subverts. Like, it is... kind of insane. And then even like what it, because okay, this is a movie where you're like, this is a one joke movie. There is nothing that's gonna be, oh, it's zombie beavers, it's gonna be old after like 10 minutes. Yeah. And I get that your mileage may vary, because when we get into the reception of the film, like, that absolutely is a criticism that was lobbied against it. Doesn't really fall in that category for me. This is a movie that works and it evolves well enough to keep kind of to keep you on your toes. And mm-hmm. because of that blessed 77-minute runtime,
yeah, it doesn't overstay the welcome.
It knows when to get out.
I will confess, I think this probably could be a few minutes longer, because mm-hmm. there is some stuff that happens in the third act that feels almost a little hasty.
I'm going to attribute that to the budget, which I don't know yeah. what the budget is for this movie, but I know it's small. I know it's like I don't know if it's a micro budget or just like a very small budget, but the practical effects in this movie look, I mean, at least the gore effects look really mm-hmm. good. The beavers obviously look like little puppets, but that's by design.
Oh, yeah. The beavers look like hot garbage, and that's part of the charm.
There's a shot when it's like the dark out, it's like night outside, and there's just the cabin. You see all the beavers like just surrounding the cabin, just like looking up, and they're just like thwacking their tails on the ground. And it is mm-hmm. just like, I want a frame of that shot in my bedroom. So, okay. So you enjoyed this movie. So, okay. So before we go into the plot, we'll just kind of go through some basic shit as per usual. So this was your first time seeing it. Do you remember when the wave of this movie came about? Because this is one of those movies where it kind of became a viral sensation, but then it didn't do anything when it actually came out.
Right. So I'm not going to lie. It reminds me a little bit about kind of the hysteria that came out last year when the Velocipastor started to yes. leak images and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I remember people saying, I can't believe there's a movie called Zombievers. This sounds so fucking stupid. Who makes garbage like this? Oh my God, it's just going to be another B-movie. And I remember the promotional images really leaning into that, and then I had no idea it had even come out.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. This movie, like, even internationally, I have the list. Okay, so first of all, this movie was filmed, I think, in 2013, and it was basically in 2014, early 2014, they released a trailer for it, early February 2014, and it went viral. Basically, it got over a million views in less than a week.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, for fucking Zombievers. Now, do have a million people seen this movie? No. Would wager not.
I mean, this is a film that literally sells itself on the title. It's yeah. so ridiculous, and it knows it, but that's one of the selling features, right? If you're trying to get people to talk about and pay attention to your film, you name it something stupid like Zombievers.
Well, and there are ways that, like, self-aware, oh, we know we're being stupid, cannot be funny. I just mm-hmm. watched both Jay and Silent Bob movies this week.
Oh,
and I will tell you that while sometimes they're funny, sometimes the self-awareness is fucking obnoxious. So that, at least for me, this movie pulls it off with aplomb is pretty, I mean, it's pretty great.
Well, actually, to build on that, I do... I feel like I kind of owe you a little bit of an apology, because I remember all throughout the 8 weeks of camp last summer, you kept making reference to films that are campy and they know it. And a lot of the films that we were talking about were campy, but they did not know it. And you kept kind of attributing it to those films. And I just kept thinking, I don't think Trace understands this concept of camp. And then we got to here with Zombievers.
So through our entire 8-week camp marathon, you didn't think I understood camp.
No, I think you understood it. It was just this one specific definition that you kept bringing up. Like, there are so few films that know that they are right. campy and actually then manage to pull it off. Because I think you end up with a lot more Jay and Silent Bob style.
Right.
They deliberately set out to be a camp classic or yep. overtly campy. And then they fail because they're too wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Whereas this somehow hits the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, your apology is fucking accepted.
Well, so. Happy birthday, baby.
Yay, the best birthday present I could have ever gotten.
You know how hard it is to get an apology out of me. So. No,
absolutely. I mean, you're real fucking stubborn because you're old.
I'm a huge cunt. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, this movie premiered at Tribeca.
Okay. So, bold choice on Beavers. Bold choice.
World premiere April 19th, 2014 at Tribeca. So when they were trying to get this made, the director, Jordan Rubin, who some people may know.
At least 1 million people.
He did a movie last year called The Drone with Alex Esso, which is about, you guessed it, a killer drone. And unlike this movie, I mean, it does know it's stupid, but it doesn't lean into the stupidity enough to, like, to where it really works. Like, that movie was a step down. He also directed all, I want to say, 8 episodes, which, and by episodes, I mean, like, 8-minute webisodes of Critters: A New Binge for Shudder.
Oh, okay.
Which I have not seen, but I've heard it's really bad.
Yeah, Critters is another one of those where I think some people really love it because of the low budget effects and just how endearing that is. I haven't seen the Shudder series, but I did see the big screen version that came out last summer and did the festival circuit, and it is also awful.
But have you seen the original 4?
I have not, in the defense of the originals.
Okay, the first 2 are legitimately great movies. I have a soft spot for 3 with Leonardo DiCaprio because it was the first one I saw, and it was on UPN all the time, and so I, like, watched it. Like, it doesn't really hold up now.
No, I'm sure. But your fond memories carry it through, right?
Right, but 1 and 2 are legitimately great. 4 has Angela Bassett and Brad Dourif and is set in space.
Oh my god. Oh my god, what are we doing with our lives that we're not watching that right now?
Bitch, I have the fucking Scream Factory box set, so I don't know what you're doing with your life. Anyway.
Clearly not shelling out for the Critters franchise.
Add Critters to your bucket list. So, okay.
Will do. Okay.
When Ruben was trying to, like, basically pitch this movie, he put together a proof of concept trailer compiled from footage from various horror movies, BBC nature shows, and social media outlets, and presented the trailer to Binderspink and Amory Films.
Don't know what that is.
Don't know what that means.
I think I remember the nature documentary stuff.
Well, so basically they were like, that's cool. That's a cool idea. So they agreed to finance the film, and then the film went into pre-production. And I guess they filmed it and then released the trailer that went viral. But what really set this movie off was, so the trailer went viral. It was like late February 2014. That was the year that movies like American Hustle and Gravity and Her were all nominated for Oscars. And so they ran this viral marketing campaign for Zombievers that took the posters for those 3 movies and inserted a Zombiever into the poster and put quotes on it that were like, garbage movie, says YouTube critic, like, blah, 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 like, all this shit. And it was really fucking funny. But then, like, the movie doesn't come out, like, it doesn't get released in the States until March
20th, 2015. Oh,
so, yeah.
It's that's not wise.
A year, apparently, it was released in Austria in late 2014. Like,
there's a lot of question marks that I have around some of these decisions.
I don't know what was happening with this movie, because this is a movie that I feel like a lot of horror fans, even casual horror fans, would just watch and love. I mean, smoke a bowl and watch this movie. Like, it doesn't even, like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like, my kingdom for an edible while I was watching this movie. The glass of wine was not enough.
No, 100%. So, okay. Yes, March 20th, 2015, it got a very limited release into 11 theaters. Open number 66 with $8,163 and went on to gross almost $15,000 domestically. But it grossed $40,000 internationally in Austria, Lebanon, and Spain.
Huh. Okay.
That is it. So we're looking at a worldwide gross of $54,985.
So this might be the most low budget film we have ever covered on this podcast.
Or at least the lowest grossing film. I mean, maybe Stage Fright was lower. I don't remember. No, I think that even made more money than this.
Or maybe All Cheerleaders Die. Any of the ones that went VOD directly, obviously, are going to make less money.
For sure. But anyway, so that was that. So I think, though, that the fact that it came to VOD and limited theaters in March, like, over a year after, like, the trailers and stuff went viral, that's your death knell right there.
Yeah, it needed to be out the next month. Like, they needed to have those Oscar campaign pictures out in February, March, and then have the movie dropping on VOD in April.
Well, or, I mean, if the fucking movie's coming out the next March, then do another Oscar poster campaign for 2015 movies. I don't get it, but
yeah. I mean, these things do still cost money, even if they're just being distributed on the internet. So it's possible that these guys had just dried up all of those funds.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, and again, it's streaming for free on Amazon Prime. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it. So reception is mostly positive, to be honest. Rotten Tomatoes, we're looking at a 69% from about 32 reviews.
60.
I know, right? I was like, that's appropriate. But average score of 5.7 out of 10, whereas with Letterboxd users, we're looking at an average score of 4.6 out of 10. So that was a bit shocking to me, but I really think that people just aren't giving this a chance, or they're rating it without watching it.
Oh, entirely possible. Yeah.
So before we jump into the plot, I mean, honestly, like, there's no one really famous in this movie that, I mean, I would consider famous. Although, unless you know Hutch Dano, who is from a TV show called Zeke and Luther, which was a Disney show.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, because you're like me, he's not related to Paul Dano.
No. He's also much more attractive than Paul Dano, but...
This is a low bar to clear.
But what I didn't get was this, though. The kid that plays Tommy, like the kind of jockish guy, he is the lead hate crimer in It Chapter 2 in the first scene.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He's also in It Follows. He's the guy that, like, the first guy that, like, gives it to Micah Monroe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of notable. That's notable. He So, basically, he shows up to open a horror film.
Basically, yeah. He makes it pretty far along in this one, but he's the, I mean, spoiler alert, the first one to die. And then, yeah, this is a crew where it's like, they're all buddies. They are clearly all buddies because most of these people have worked on this and the drone and Critters: A New Binge.
Yeah.
Although I will say the cinematographer, Jonathan Hall, did shoot GBF, which I love, as we all know.
Right, yeah. Go back and listen to our Jawbreaker episode if you have no idea what we're talking about.
And if you didn't listen to that, I don't even know what to tell you.
Who are you, even if you didn't listen to the Jawbreaker episode?
Right? That was a really good downloaded episode for us. So yeah, okay, well let's get this birthday bash started with talking about Zombievers.
Zombievers.
Oh, you did like the dip really well. I can't do the dip.
You know, I've been working on it all week.
That's good. I listened to it before we started recording.
Okay, then. All right. We open on a pair of idiots. They are delivering canisters for a medical research facility. So, yes, we have Joseph, who is played by Bill Burr, and he tells Luke, who is played by John Mayer, who, not going to lie, I would not have recognized him had you not mentioned it, despite the fact that he's obviously just John Mayer wearing a Dollar Tree mustache.
Admittedly, I don't really know a lot of his music. I just know that he dated Katy Perry and that he referred to his penis as a white supremacist.
Okay, there's just so much to touch on there.
He is problematic.
He's gross. He's actually dated a bunch of famous women. Yeah. Because that song "Your Body Is a Wonderland" is about Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's the one. That's his like one big hit. And I'm sure he's had other hits. Sorry, don't come after me with pitchforks, gays. But I'm sure.
Remember that Trace is having a birthday, but also he doesn't know music.
No, I did write down the name of the medical facility. Which
thank you. Okay.
I thought it was going to be a joke, but I didn't get it. But maybe it is. It's Mamaro Neck Medical Facility. I was like, okay, so maybe it's trying to play off of mammaries?
Maybe. I mean, wouldn't be surprising given the nature of some of the other jokes, but no.
My daughter's a real fucking bitch, too.
I've got that in there.
Okay, so go ahead.
So these two idiots are driving down the road, and Joseph is telling Luke about how easy it actually is to date a man, because he did it once, and the worst part were the whiskers, apparently.
Hey, so I'm watching this, and I'm like, because again, when it first happens, I dated a guy once, and you're like, oh god.
Yeah, here we
like,
go.
Where is this going? So I wrote down like kind of a spark notes. He goes, you know, I dated a guy once, and John Mayer's like, oh, well, tell me all about it. But it's like, not making fun of him. It's like, oh, tell me all about it as your friend. And it's like, good for you, movie. He goes, well, there's not a lot to tell. It's one of the easiest weeks of my life, except the sex. You know, it's not the dick. It's the whiskers, man. It just creeps you out. But you know what? Easiest week. We just agreed on everything. So maybe not homophobic, a little sexist, but sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think the punchline here is definitely that if you date a woman, you're just going to spend all your time disagreeing. And it's a little bit like, there is sex, like, it could have taken it in a very different direction about, like, oh, I couldn't do anal or something like that. So it's a bit amusing to say the whiskers as opposed to.
I mean, again, it's a baby step, but I appreciate that. Sucking the dick wasn't bad. Like, that's not the problem.
I just love that we have back-to-back birthday picks that have casually talking about dating an unconventional partner.
Dating a queer person, we'll say.
There we go. Yes. Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, also, two movies that neither of us thought had any explicit queer content, but here we are.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, gays are taking over the world.
Queers are taking over the world. I don't think director Jordan Rubin is gay. I'm sorry. Also, Jordan Rubin, who is the director and one of the three writers, the other two writers, John and Al Kaplan, are also the composers of the music in this film.
I mean, it's all hands on deck when you're making a low-budget feature.
The music is kind of goofy, but we'll get into that with the main title sequence.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So after Joseph tells Luke this, Luke then proceeds to lament that he's no longer allowed to take a shit in his buddy's bathroom. So that kind of gives you the 1-2 punch. It's going to be sex jokes, and it's going to be, like, fart and poop jokes.
Which is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can get through this scene, you kind of know what to expect, except it actually gets a lot funnier.
Well, because the girls come in.
Yeah, basically. So they then proceed to text and drive, and they run over a deer, which, of course, loosens a barrel.
Run over a deer might be a bit of a generous term. They explode this deer.
And are completely nonplussed by the fact that they have done so.
I mean, it's obvious humor. John Mayer gets out. He looks at it. It's like guts spilling off the front of this truck. And then he gets back in and he goes, I don't think he's going to make it. Like, yeah. It's so dumb and it's so obvious. But man, goddamn if I didn't giggle my ass off.
Because there isn't even a body left over. It's just a pile of goo on the front fender there.
I mean, that's where the budget went. The budget went to the fucking gore effects in this movie.
Which I applaud. If you're going to spend your money on something and you're going to do practical effects, then throw some money at it, because there's nothing worse than really bad practical effects. So because they have hit this deer, they have knocked a barrel of something. I think we're meant to assume it's some kind of toxic medical facility waste.
No, it's beaver urine. It's green beaver urine.
Sure.
No, hey, have you ever... You won't know this, but there was an animated movie that came out in the 90s called Once Upon a Forest. And at the time, I didn't know this, but looking back, it totally was. It's like this big environmentalist film where this 18-wheeler like runs over a glass bottle and then it like gets in a car wreck and all this poison gas goes into the forest and it like kills all the animals and blah, blah, blah. This is what that reminded me of.
I mean, even things like Toxic Avenger, Alligator, like all of these kinds of films play off the idea of big city idiots not minding their way, flushing things down toilets, throwing things away that shouldn't be put into landfills, and of course it causes some kind of genetic mutation that then proceeds to bite them in the ass.
I mean, this is a deep film, you know, it's giving a very good message on pollution.
It's really, like it's drawing on the cinematic history of environmentalism. So deep.
But then we follow this barrel.
Yeah, so the barrel falls into the river and it proceeds to float downstream, and we get a delightful animated credit sequence.
It's full on Scooby-Doo. Like, we're following cartoon teenagers, or maybe college students, I think.
I think college, yeah.
Yeah, we'll say college. As they're running around and there's beavers, but it's like, it's intercut with the actual like live footage of the barrel. And I'm like, again, not something you would expect from this movie. And I'm going to keep saying that, but it was just, it's a real feast for the eyes.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes that extra step further than they probably needed to. They could have just not paid for an animated sequence and just had title cards go across. Like, yeah. It's more effort than needed to be put in, and I appreciate that.
I did watch this with the subtitles on as well, and I will say that at this point it says beavers cooing when the barrel gets to the beavers, and from this after this point, they are always referred to as zombievers whenever they're making their rawr sounds. God.
I love that there is a man credited for making that zombiever sound on the IMDb page.
The zombiever sounds are so adorable.
I mean, adorable is not the term I would use, but sure. It's kind of aggressive barking.
It's something.
So yeah, so this barrel eventually hits a beaver dam and it springs a leak, and then we get the title card, Zombivas, and then we cut to our main characters. So we have Jen, played by Lexi Atkins, and she is in the toilet at a rest stop where she is repairing her makeup. And it's because she is exchanging texts with someone named Sam, who will later be played by Hutch Dano. Full name, Hutchings Royal Dano, by the way.
Oh my. Oh my god.
She royalty. Literally.
So, I actually do think that Lexi Atkins is probably the weakest actor in this film.
Oh yeah, she sucks.
Not great.
But that's fine, because she's our main character, right?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. In any other movie, like this fucking My Boyfriend Cheated on Me drama, yeah, even with the reveal that comes in later, I would not care. And I don't really care in this movie, but it captivates me more than, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of another movie where it's like some stupid boyfriend drama, you know? I mean, it works enough to keep you invested in this film.
I was thinking of the Friday the 13th remake.
Ooh, yes. See, this is better than that.
Yes. And I think part of it, too, is that because here they're actually using it as a distraction to make you think that Jen is our main character. And spoiler alert, she actually
is not.
Yeah. Which is great. Because you think, because she's the boring main girl who's been cheated on, you think it's going to be her and Sam spending the movie getting back together and surviving the zombiever apocalypse.
Oh, this movie has no sympathy for either one of those people.
No. No, it does not.
Well, and so we have Mary, who's like a Sophia Bush clone.
Yeah, yeah.
But with glasses.
Yeah, glasses and no ponytail, but she's still a geek.
But the MVP of this film, for me, is Zoe, played by...
Yeah, of course it is.
Courtney Palm.
The minute that Courtney Palm, as Zoe, shows up in this movie, it's like, clocked it, this is why Trace loves this movie, because she's a bitch.
Did you like her character from the get-go, or did you take time, or did you never like her at all?
I liked her when they get to the cottage. This introductory scene with the three girls and the driving and the no text, no boys, what's with this music?
Yeah.
I didn't love it, although I did warm to Zoe when... So she's the type of girl who has a little dog, and the dog is cute but also annoying because she cares about it far too much. But then there's a point where, I can't remember the context, but she's looking at her phone, and you just see that she's looking at pictures of a 6-inch dick.
Dick. And they actually show the dick,
and they
too.
Show the dick. So good on them.
I mean, granted, there are boobs in this movie, but that we even get screenshots of penises. I'm like, again, good for you, movie.
Yeah, what is this? Premium HBO /stars? It's unexpected.
Equal opportunity in its nudity, in its takedowns of both sexes, and... Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So when I saw the dick pics, I thought to myself, oh, we got something special going on, you and I, zombievers.
And there's probably only an hour of movie left.
Yeah. Like, we're already into the home stretch. We're 10 minutes into the movie, and it's also already almost done.
Yep.
Okay. So these three are introduced as friends. They are all taking a break from their boyfriends and their cell phones, and they are staying at Mary's cottage. But of course, we have to make sure that we're still addressing the zombievers in the room. So as they're driving, we see a teen boy who is fishing and wearing a hat that says Number One Dad.
Oh, okay.
He's a teenager with that a hat that says Number One Dad, which means he's either stolen it or
it comes
he
into
is,
play later. And I was like, wait, who was wearing that hat? I didn't realize it was the kid. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a blink and you'll miss it. But I love to think of the fact that there's a suggestion that this teenager is out fishing because he is a teen dad.
And then you get the great, like, oh, like, the beaver takes away his fishing pole, and then all of a sudden the beaver attacks him, and you get a POV shot of the beaver and, like, the close-up on his face, and it's like, rawr!
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of zombiever POV shots in this movie, and I was here for it.
Oh, 100%. It feels like an 80s, almost like alligator, it's like that 80s creature feature.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what this is. This is a B-grade creature feature that knows its exact limits and sticks within them.
Which is, yeah.
It's admirable.
I'm going to stop saying it's admirable and respectable because I keep saying it, but okay. y'all get my gist.
Yeah. So, some sample choice dialogue. We're going to do this a lot throughout this episode. Yeah. They arrive at the cottage and Zoe complains that her butt hurts. So Mary says, yeah, thanks to your boyfriend. Because, you know, anal.
Well, also, it's tricky because we discussed this before that, you know, with female friends in movies, a lot of times it seems like the friends don't actually like each other. And the beginning scene does kind of, it's like, why are these girls even friends? Or specifically Zoe. Mary and Jen, like, they seem like they're into each other. But it's like, why are they friends with Zoe? And it gets better as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do detect a genuine, like, affection between all three of them.
There's definitely a good camaraderie. Like, the banter feels authentic. I don't know whether or not they had an opportunity to rehearse it or actually spend time together before they shot, but you do get the impression that these girls know each other. There is a sense that the friendship is stronger between Mary and Jen. And, maybe Zoe is the girl that they were friends with back in college, and they've kind of kept in touch, but they're not always sure why.
I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But you are prime for Zoe to, like, die first. You are prime for that.
100%. You're like, oh, she's the bitch who's a floozy with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes sex. Yeah, she's dead already.
Yeah. Oh, trigger warning. Also, if you haven't seen it, the dog dies.
Yeah, the dog does die.
But it's really funny.
It's pretty funny. Okay, so at this point, we are introduced to Miss Gregerson, who is played by Phyllis Katz, and she is the neighbor, so she lives in the cottage next door, and she wanders over, and she's like, oh, hi, girls. You know, she's the kind of kindly, slightly older grandmother-type character, and this is when Zoe delivers some exposition. She's very frank that Jen's boyfriend has cheated on her, and that's why they're at the cottage this weekend, at which point then Miss Gregerson confides to Mary, Trace, do you want to deliver this line?
Oh, I will deliver this. Yeah, so Zoe's saying all this fucking shit just to be a big bitch and basically saying a bunch of fuck words just to kind of shock Mrs. Gregerson. And yes. Mary's like, I'm so sorry. And she goes, oh, don't worry. My daughter's a total fucking bitch, too. A real whore. A real whore. Sometimes she brings home people. I don't even know what sex they are. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I am a very liberal woman, but my daughter's a real piece of work and not that attractive.
Yeah. That's the selling feature right at the end. And not that attractive.
I think when I first saw this movie, this part was when I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm into this movie. You have me.
Yeah, it's a little bit rocky up until this point, and then we're pretty good. So Miss Gregerson invites them over for breakfast the next day, and then they go inside the cottage and discover it's quite small. There's only one bathroom. Zoe's dog immediately pees on the floor.
Don't you love that shot where it's like, why are we seeing this? It plays no purpose, but we're adding to that 77-minute runtime.
Mm-hmm. Pad that runtime, baby. Pad it all the way to the theater. So Jen immediately escapes to the bathroom so that she can check on messages from Sam, except that she discovers there is no service.
It's not really that funny, but the actresses sell this joke, which lasts a pretty long time, fairly well.
Yeah, because Jen freaks out, and then Zoe immediately comes out, and she also freaks out, at which point Mary reassures them, you know what, don't worry, you're not going to miss your phones. Let's just go to the lake. Let's get changed. So they do. So they get changed. They head out to the lake. Zoe immediately doffs her top.
Yes.
And they swim out to a raft, which she doesn't understand what it even is. She thinks it's wood in the water.
This is the grossest pond lake thing I've ever seen in my life.
Ew. Yeah. When they were like, should we get in this water later on in the film? I thought to myself, you shouldn't have gotten in the water at all.
Yeah. How do we feel about these titties? I mean, not like their quality, but like just, oh, we're getting tits in this movie.
Yeah, it was very 80s all of a sudden. Like, okay, the slutty girl's going to take off her top now. Remarking about the quality, I will say that at this exact moment, Brian turned around and he said, oh, she's actually got nice boobs.
She's actually, as if like he expected her to not have nice boobs.
Admittedly, we have seen a couple of films recently where it was like, oh, okay, we're seeing boobs and not the kind that I want to see.
Right. And granted, while we get them like right up front, like in the get-go, I think this is the only scene where we get boobs, I think.
Yeah, but it's extended, right?
It is, but I don't, it's not like fucking All Cheerleaders Die where it's just camera in the boobs, you know? It's like,
right.
It's not focus, they're not the focus of these scenes. Again, I'm diving deep into this movie, it doesn't deserve it, but fuck it.
I will say, I felt like the short shorts in this film were actually more gratuitous than the boob shots here.
Right.
Because these girls wear super short shorts the entire time, and I couldn't figure out if it was to reinforce how much skin they were exposing later when we start to find out the impact of a zombiever scratch. But it also just felt very much like You know, these are city girls. They are wearing short shorts and high heels, and they're out in the country.
I mean, maybe. Maybe that was the intention. I don't know.
I don't know. It was probably like, hey, girls, can you bring your own wardrobe? Because we can't afford it. We don't have a J-Lo wardrobe budget for this.
Exactly.
Okay. So they swim out to the raft. They're having some conversation. Of course, this is when we get the number one dad hat floats by in the background. Mm-hmm. They're drinking light beer, which felt like the least authentic part about this movie. I just could not imagine these girls drinking light beer.
You've never grown up in the South.
This is true. This is true.
I mean, granted, we don't know where... Do we know where they are?
Oh, I think Mary... I want to say that they say Connecticut, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, that... destroys my statement, but if it is the South...
I mean, at certain points, both Zoe and Mary seem to have Southern accents, but I am also terrible with accents.
Actually, yeah, no, they all have, like, Zoe and Mary have very, very thick Southern accents. Like, it is not at some points, all the time.
But we can't place them, so we can't say anything more about it.
I don't want to change, I want to send a text.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your accent.
full-on twang. Yeah. So at this point, Jen spots the beaver dam that is nearby, and she decides that she wants to go investigate because she thinks that beavers are super cute. And now that beavers are part of our lexicon, we are going to get about a million beaver jokes to follow.
Okay, honestly, not as many as you think. B, Mary is also a beaver expert.
She's got a whole book on it, yeah.
She just keeps spouting off facts about beavers. And I wrote in my notes, I love that she's just a beaver expert. That's great.
Well, that fits into my reading of who Mary is.
Oh, absolutely. Big old lesbian.
Big old lesbian. Yeah. Okay. So they swim over there and they are almost immediately threatened by a bear. But they are saved by Rex Lynn's Smith with a Y, as he introduces himself. And he also describes them as three little heifers.
I wrote that down. And then I also love the delivery of, oh, we're staying at my cousin's cabin. The McKellars? Yeah, you know them? Long pause.
Nope.
And
the girls just seem so confused. Oh, okay.
I actually think his performance might be my favorite one in the film. He's good, like, throughout the entire thing.
He's a very interesting character because he's repeatedly introduced as a mildly threatening, you know...
Rapey, almost.
Yeah, very rapey. So, like, at this point, they say that they were looking for beavers, and he just looks at them and says, well, hell, weren't we all?
Yep.
And you're just thinking, ew. But yeah. But then he's also super conservative because he chastises them for not covering up and also having tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, sure. I mean, it's that that brilliant character development that Zombievers puts on it.
Mm-hmm. So real multifaceted characters. They got depth. They got layers. They're like onions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So at this point, the girls are properly weirded out by this guy, so they hightail it back to the cottage, and we get another Zombiever POV shot that watches them. So at this point, they play a game of Would You Rather, and Trace, I would like you to answer the following question.
Yes!
Would you like to watch your mom get murdered by your dad while you watch, or would you rather get raped by your dad while your mom watches?
Okay, you're not doing the accent, so...
No, I'm not doing the accent.
I got a good one. Would you rather your mama get murdered by your daddy, or would you rather get raped by your daddy while your mama had to watch?
And your answer, sir?
I guess get raped by my dad while my mom had to watch.
Oh, you're sick.
So they make Jen answer this question, and then... Mary's
and
like,
then they just make fun of her.
It's like, that's, you're fucking sick. Well, what would you pick? I wouldn't pick either. That's fucking disgusting. This is the moment though where you're like, okay, I see the dynamic here between them, and it's this is when I was, okay, cool, they're all friends, I get it. This is what we're working with here with this fucking disgusting question.
Yeah, they're weird, they're a little bit drunk, they're just having a good time. you know, at this point, this is where we get our first very obvious cue that Mary yeah. is a big old lesbian, because mm-hmm. she says it. She wants to try to make out with Jen again, because they apparently tried to make out once before.
And that actually is the downfall, but like a weak aspect is that they do build this up until one of them dies. But mm-hmm. then, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, like, that's it. Like, we don't get any more of that.
Yeah, it feels like they're teasing something, but I can't tell if it's for titillation or if it's a legitimately dropped subplot.
See, I would go with the latter only because there isn't enough titillation with the lesbian stuff to, like, to for me to classify it as titillation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, we're not in Piranha 3D territory. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, correct.
So at this point, we get a loud knock at the door, and all the girls are scared, but Zoe is drunkenly unafraid, so she goes outside, and very quickly it is revealed that the boys have tracked them to this cottage. So we have Mary's boyfriend, Tommy, who is played by Jake Weary, Zoe's boyfriend, Buck, who is played by Peter Gilroy, and then we've got Jen's cheating ex, Sam, and they have driven the 4 hours out to the cottage so that they can get to the fucking.
So I wrote... Buck is the 6-inch cock guy whose penis we were seeing on the phone earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Buck, on the surface, when you meet him, you're like, oh, I'm not going to like you and you need to die. I actually found him endearing after a while, where I was like, I kind of like you.
He's an endearing asshole. Like, he never changes it up. He's always one note, very much party guy, let's get to the fucking.
Right.
But he's never a... I don't know. Like, I almost... Okay. Stop me if this sounds too terrible.
Okay.
Because he's not the hot one.
Yeah.
He's more of the schlubby kind of loser one.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down better because it just kind of makes him seem lovable somehow.
I agree. And the movie even comments on that in a bit with his sex scene with Zoe.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we're being honest, Zoe is the quote-unquote hot one of the group, so it's interesting to have her be with him, who is the schlubbiest of the three guys. Here's the thing.
For me, Mary is the hot one, but she's wearing glasses, so she's not hot.
Oh my god, I was drinking!
No,
but she's got glasses and a ponytail, Trey.
But that's, well, no, because Jen has the ponytail for most of this movie, so they're like splitting it between the two of them. Zoe, actually, I think Courtney Palm is attractive, but she is not the quote-unquote hot one between the actresses, in my opinion.
Come on, she's like the southern version of the slutty chick from Love Actually.
Yes, mixed with a little bit of Kate Micucci.
I don't know that I know who that is.
You should Google that, because you're going to see it. Anyway, but yeah, I do love the banter, though, when they show up. Because, again, the issue here is that, like, Zoe invited the guys there, and that was the problem. But there's this whole thing about how his dick fell asleep, and then she's like, I gotta wake that dick up.
Yeah, come on, Jen, let me wake the dick up. Yeah, so Jen decides to let all three of the boys stay, which I feel like she immediately regrets, because then we just cut to both of the other couples having terrible, loud, and very unconvincing looking sex.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, and I know you watched the bloopers at the end of the movie, but you can see how many takes they did of these sex scenes.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. But yeah, there's a part where Buck is like, you are way too hot for me. Oh, I know, baby. I know, baby.
Yeah, like, it's the kind of just pound-towning that you see in really bad pornography, where people are like, this is gonna feel so good if I just try to fuck as hard and fast as I can, like, jackrabbit style. And you're like, that is sex that is not pleasurable for most people.
I mean, ladies, let us know if you had this type of sex.
How long have you stayed with your significant other if they fuck you this way?
Has jackhammering doggy style been a satisfying experience for you? Please let us know.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's what this is.
It is, yes.
But, okay, so then we go back to Jen, though. And this is when I was, because up until this point, I was like, oh, God, Jen, you're such a sad sack. Because here's the thing. And I'm not making light of the situation, but Sam kissed another girl. He didn't fuck another girl.
Well, that we know of.
Yeah, but what the movie is telling us is that there is a picture of him kissing another girl who we eventually learn is Mary. But
what?
I know, but that's the thing. But this moment on this couch when she slaps him twice is when I was like, okay, Mary, I'm into you. Like,
you mean Jen?
I mean, yes, sorry, Jen. I'm into you.
You're like, hey, Mary, but also your name's Jen.
But you can do your plot summary for this. Because the movie is the thing where I'm like, it goes away, and then it takes a turn where I'm like, oh, like, okay, cool. Didn't expect that. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, she basically wants the truth, and they're having this, you know, coupley heart-to-heart moment where he's saying, no, I'm not going to tell you, and she wants to know why you won't be honest. And yeah, it's not very interesting because we've seen it a million times before. And then he tries to make a move on her, and she seems resistant, and then she goes along with it. So it's still mildly sexual assaulty. And then, yeah, she's just like, you know what? I need to do a couple of slaps in your face. And then he thinks that they're good, and then she knees him in the balls. And well, it's just really satisfying.
That's the thing. So she slaps him twice on the couch, and he's like, feel better, and she's like, getting there. And then they go upstairs, and then they start making out. And that's when I was like, oh, that sucks. Like,
don't do this movie.
But then she knees him in the balls. And it's like, okay, you're winning me over, Jen.
Yeah. And then she leaves, right? It's not like she even sticks around. She knees him in the ball. She just leaves. She goes to take a shower. And at this point, of course, because it's a movie called Zombievers, we need a fucking zombiever attack.
But I love it, like, the reveal. So she hears the thwacking of its tail in the bathtub. And that's what leads her to open the shower curtain.
Mm-hmm. And this is when we get our first really good look at the zombiever. This thing looks like a hand puppet. It is so unconvincing.
But the sounds. Rah!
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, if you can't stand something to be unconvincing, this may be the point where Zombievers loses you. I feel like if you're a little bit dead inside, maybe somebody hurt you as a child, if that's the case. Because really, like, the execution of this hand puppet is clearly this labor of love wherein they said, we just need people to recognize the teeth and the tail. And apart from that, it can just be a furry brown hand puppet.
It's so funny. Like, because it's just like, because when she opens it, it like lifts up and it's like floating almost in the air. It's like, rawr! Yeah. It's so charming to me. It's just like, these people.
Yeah.
God bless them.
It's so low budget, very wacky, very silly. Mm-hmm. So she, of course, freaks out and she runs outside to tell the others, and she's crying. She's very upset. And Buck goes, Jen, you are a really ugly crier.
I wrote that line down too.
Like, it's the meanest thing that you could say to someone who's upset.
Well, also because she's running around her bra and panties at this point too. So it's also like, it's kind of exploitative, but like, I never for once feel like the movie is ogling her, you know?
No. Although admittedly, it's like, there's very few instances from this point on where the men are actually unclothed, whereas we do have multiple scenes with girls running around in their bra and panty.
That is correct.
You're right. It doesn't feel gratuitous in the way that a lot of 80s films made it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they go back into the bathroom. They find nothing. And Buck makes fun of her until the zombiever pops out of the cabinet.
Well, there's a lot of two of the guys calling each other a pussy. You're a little bitch. Like, mm-hmm. This is that kind of Hostel humor. It works for me here, whereas it didn't work for me as much in Hostel.
Yeah, I think if only because this is so obviously a film that is not taking itself seriously, whereas Hostel is presenting it very straight-faced. This is just what men do.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But yeah, then of course, yeah, it pops out of the cabinet. Rawr!
And of course, Buck is also undercut at this moment because he's got a high-pitched, girly shriek when he screams in fear. Mm-hmm. And Tommy then beats the zombiever to death with a baseball bat. And then they bag the corpse and they toss it out onto the porch.
And that's it. That is that.
Mm-hmm. They have handled this problem. We are good for the rest of the night. So, of course, Jen is unconvinced. She wants to leave, and everybody is like, Jen, settle down. You're fine. So they head back inside. Buck proposes a safety orgy to keep them all safe.
Okay.
Close proximity.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume you've had a safety orgy, right?
I've had an orgy, not a safety orgy.
Well, it kept you safe, right?
It. You know what? I did feel safe. I did feel safe.
Okay, good. So we see the bags on Beaver out on the porch beginning to move again, suggesting that even if you bag and tag these fuckers, they're still going to come back to life.
Which, zombies. Zombievers. Yeah. That's
Zombievers. So, the next morning, Smith with a Y discovers an empty trap, and the campers discover that the corpse on their porch is missing. The boys explain that something in the wild probably just carted it away, which kind of makes sense. I mean, we did get a shot of a bear earlier, and if you just leave things out,
It is Chekhov's bear, too.
Yeah, it is. And I was here for it.
I was, too.
So Jen is still protesting, and nobody gives it the time of day. They have no apprehension at all about getting into the water. So at this point, they're like, you know what, Jen, you stop being a pussy. And she this was the one meta comment that I really, really liked in the movie, is when Jen says, can we please stop with the beaver jokes?
Oh, I don't even remember that. No, because there's a line where Buck's like, I've never even seen a beaver. And then Zoe's like, well, maybe she'll try going down on me once in a while. Like, yeah. That I get.
Chekhov's cunnilingus.
Oh my god, I know. And then this is when we find out, again, it works for me. What I don't know if it works for everyone else, but like, this is when the drama comes in, where it's like, oh, we've learned now that Mary is the one that was kissing Sam.
Mm-hmm. It's framed a little bit oddly. So Jen is still on the shore and everybody else is in the water or on the raft. So it's Mary and Sam who are on the raft, and they have this elongated conversation about how he wishes that she would come clean so that it's not just him being the bad guy. And she's like, I'll do it in my own time or maybe never.
I will admit, though, is fair for him to say. That's kind of fucked up on Mary's part.
Oh, yeah. And it's obvious that Mary has, you know, baggage that she's dealing with about how she doesn't want to lose Jen as a friend. Because she's all lesbian.
She's still lesbian.
Yeah. I mean, she obviously kissed Sam because she was trying to get closer to Jen and break them up. But none of that is said. But they're having this conversation and literally the other people are 2 feet away in the water.
Yeah.
It makes sense later because you find out that everybody except Tommy actually already knew about this.
Yeah.
But at the time, it felt like a bad framing job where I was like, shouldn't they be further away from the raft?
It also seems like a way for the movie to go out of its way to make Sam seem like a douchebag, because there's a part where Mary's like, oh, but she'll hate me if I tell her. And he's like, maybe, tell that to my finger. And it's like, you're a shithead. Like, he is the most despicable character in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's presented as the ultimate bad guy of this group, which is interesting considering what happens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the others goad Jen to come into the water, and we get an underwater POV shot that suggests that something is approaching her. And at the same time, Buck is then pulled underwater and he resurfaces carrying his own severed foot.
I liked this. I like this. Blood flowing all around. Like, there's a big pool of blood. It's really cool looking. And you get the Jaws trick, because it does the camera does the zoomy thing where it's like zooming in on Mary's face, but like the background's kind of getting further away as it does it. It's the exact same thing in Jaws whenever Alex Kendall gets eaten and it zooms in on Brody's face.
Oh, yeah. I was also thinking it's very... It reminded me a little bit of The Raft, the short from Creepshow.
Yeah.
I mean, just because they end up getting trapped on this raft, and you have to think about, like, ooh, how do we get away from it?
That's a very valid comparison. Totally. Yeah.
So Jen hightails it back to the cottage. The rest of them are on this raft, and they try to tie up Buck's stump, and we also see that Tommy has been scratched, and both of these will be important later on.
I also love, though, for the tourniquet, Zoe tries to take off her bra, her top, and Tommy's like, no, it's too thin.
Okay, so Jen has hightailed it back to the cabin, but we discover that the landline has hilariously been slashed.
I have
this
in my
is
notes.
So ridiculous.
All caps, the beavers cut the phone line.
Yeah. And like, you literally cut to an outside shot of, you know, the classic, here's the phone line, and you just see these really super fake looking scratches where the cable's been cut. Oh, that's so good. So there's multiple zombievers who are circling and attacking the raft. They're poking up through the boards. And Jen is actually being attacked in the kitchen by the half-severed creature from the night before. So it is, like, fully coming apart in the middle from where Tommy hit it with the bat.
Really good effect, by the way. Like, I think this entire sequence, like, with this beaver puppet thing, is really cool looking. It's gnarly as hell.
Yeah, like, it's still not convincing at all as a beaver, but in terms of the gooey, stretchy tendrils that connect the two bodies, it's icky.
And it's still going, rah, 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 yes, the whole time.
Indeed. Yeah. So at this point, Sam uses Zoe's dog as a diversion to lure the zombievers away. So he tosses the dog in the water, and the dog begins to swim for shore, and then you see all the zombievers going after it, and would be sad that the dog is then killed, except that it just looks so silly.
It looks very silly. Zombies
are so bad.
And the movie does a service by, in the bloopers later, it shows the dog swimming with the beaver puppets, and it's not afraid, and you hear someone in the background go, the dog's supposed to be afraid of the beavers.
Yeah. I think at one point it even, like, swims over one of the beavers.
Yeah, it does. It's
very funny.
I mean, it sucks. Like, I mean, like, these beavers just, like, pull this dog underwater, but...
Yeah.
It's definitely played for laughs, and it is very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not like they linger. Like, you don't see a body, you don't see blood or anything like that.
No. So it's just... And honestly, I'm a little surprised we don't get a Zom Jack Russell Terrier later.
True. I wonder if working with the dog was a little bit harder than they expected.
Mm-hmm. Highly possible.
Yeah. So they use the dog as the distraction, and they make it back to shore. Meanwhile, Jen is stabbing the zombiever with a plethora of knives that she has in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. The others join her inside. She has basically stabbed the zombiever in the head and pinned it to the table, and it's still moving. So Sam stabs it in the head with a second knife, and that seems to kill it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So at this point, then, we get a brief cool-down period. Zoe is more upset about her dead dog than her dying boyfriend.
Which is very understandable.
I was going to say, as a dog owner, I feel like you probably connected more to this. I was like, your boyfriend is about to die at the couch.
Oh, God, there's another movie where this happens, too, where someone, like, throws the dog up, and I'm like, ugh, like, that person needs to die. So Sam is sealed as, like, the villain of this movie.
Yeah, he got to pay. So in her grief, this is when Zoe outs Mary and Sam's affair to everybody, but most specifically to Jen and Tommy, who didn't.
It's funny because it's like, oh, it makes sense because this douchebag just killed her dog. And it's like, oh, like, it's not just like, oh, she's being a bitch. Like, there's emotional reasoning for this to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's payback.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously... she's expecting something. It's Tommy is actually the one who is more upset that he didn't know.
Which I liked, but they don't pay off on it.
Yeah, it doesn't really go anywhere beyond this. And Jen is surprisingly okay with it because she realizes that they got bigger fish to fry. And by fish, I mean an army of zombievers who have begun to gather outside the house.
Also, there's this really funny line. Maybe it's not that funny, but I thought it was. When the beaver in the kitchen's not dead yet, and they're like, is it on steroids? And Zoe goes... Mary doesn't look like a baseball player.
God. It's an easy joke, but it's a good one.
It's so funny.
So Sam takes the head off of that beaver from the kitchen and tosses it outside because reasons. He apparently seems to think that that's going to be, like, threatening to this group of zombievers outside.
All the while, the tail of the zombiever keeps, like, thwacking. Just like, pow,
pow, pow, pow. Yeah, like, these things cannot be killed.
No, not at all.
So at this point, Tommy is so upset that he more or less hatches an escape plan to get away from his girlfriend. So he decides that he and Buck are going to take the car and they're going to go for help. And Zoe decides that she wants to come with them. So they make a break for the car. They get there and the remaining trio begin to board up the house. And meanwhile, at the next door neighbors, because the Gregersons are still part of this movie... we are introduced to Mr. Gregerson, who's played by Brent Briscoe, and he explains away the screams that they have been hearing as, oh, it's just those kids scissoring each other to Lady Gaga.
If that line does not make this movie worth a watch for you, I don't even know what to say to you. It kills me every time.
And it is delivered so straight face, like, yeah, that's just what kids do. They scissor each other to Lady Gaga all the time.
It's so juvenile. Hearing you say it, I'm like, why do I find that funny? But fuck, man, I'm 31 today. Tomorrow, it's going to be good.
You know what? Lean into this child, this childish inhibition.
But then we get like these Chekhov shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's petting the dog next to him as he says this without looking. So you see him petting the dog, and then it kind of cuts away, and then when it goes back, you see that he's now petting a zombiever who has replaced the dog mysteriously.
Like, the dog is just gone.
It's yeah. And I don't think we ever see that dog again, do we?
We do not see that dog. Clearly they could not afford zomba dogs.
Yeah, or dog trainers of any kind.
not at all. Although
not a lot of animal work in this.
The credits do say that no animals were harmed, except they did give the bear a purple nurple.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even kidding, but it said the bear had it coming.
All right then. Okay. Wacky credits. Good to know. All right, so at this point, we cut back to Tommy and Zoe, and they discover that the road has been blocked by a felled tree, which, of course, makes sense when you think about the fact that we are dealing with
beavers!
So they go out for a quick search to see if they can discover something to help them. They find a nearby truck that has an axe and a bunch of guns in the back, and Tommy is the stupidest character in this movie. He decides that he's going to try to go on foot.
Because his death is off camera, because they obviously couldn't afford dummy work to, like, show this tree crush him.
Yeah.
I lament that he gets killed off screen and so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not particularly satisfying. So she gets back into the car, and then she hears something, and she goes back out to investigate, and we just see a shot of him underneath a tree, and he's dead. Yep. And that's it. That's all we get.
We see him once more in the last scene of the film, and that's it.
Yeah, it didn't really work for me, but that's okay.
No. It is what it is, but
it's kind of made up for it in the very next shot, because then the camera cuts and we go to like a medium long shot, and we just see a jumping zombiever flying straight at Zoe.
I have a beaver in all caps jumps up clearly on a string and gets blown away.
So she has been rescued by Smith with a Y, so he takes the opportunity to remind her that she was meant to cover up as he rescues her and Buck, and they begin driving back to the cottage.
Yes, and then we cut back to the cottage. Okay, so this is a physical comedy thing that I didn't think, like, on paper doesn't sound that funny, but looking at it is. As they're stabbing the heads of these zombievers with these knives, but they're just, like, it's, like, quick jabs a lot, and they're just, like, kind of, like, poking at its head with these knives.
Yeah.
I could not stop laughing during this.
Oh, like, they might as well have subbed out the knives for pencils.
Yes!
Because that's the extent of the damage and the jabby motions that they're making. But also, it's important to address, it's only Mary who's doing this. Like, because meanwhile, Sam is trying to board things up. So she's stabbing the zombiever, and he hits his finger with the hammer. So she comes over and she's like, out of breath, she's freaking out, she's got blood all over this knife, and he's like, ow, my finger, and he's like sucking on it. Sam is still the worst.
He is the worst, but man, if this movie doesn't have a good death saved up for him.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know that I want to say anything more aside from the fact that there's just like a really pointless and terrible conversation about beaver fever as they're driving back to the cottage.
It's apparently a true thing.
It is a true thing. Yeah.
Caused by the Giardia parasite.
Yeah. So basically what you need to know is that beavers be shitting into the water. And then if you drink that water, you get beaver fever. It can make you very sick and also hallucinate. So if you're ever, you know, out in the wild, you can't just randomly drink from a body of water. You need iodine pills.
Which I'm happy this movie didn't go the route, though, where it's like, oh, they did that. And they're just like hallucinating the whole movie. I do like the shot, though, when they look out into the woods and you just see all the eyes, like the glowing eyes of the beavers just in the darkness. Yeah. Again, It's a, I think it's a clever shot that is above what this movie needs.
Yeah. And it reinforces, too, that this is not a beaver that they're dealing with. Like, the threat is virtually insurmountable.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, back inside, the trio who has been left at the cottage can't take the boards off when they get back in the car. So they end up having to run to the next door neighbor. So Smith and Zoe half drag Buck to the Gregersons. And we've got Mary and Jen and Sam who stay behind in the cottage that's still boarded up, sort of.
And we get the immaculate line, beavers like to chew on shit.
Yes, and Smith with a Y also says that he's very done with these filthy, hairy beavers.
There are a lot of beaver jokes.
Oh, dear. There's so many. So inside the Gregersons, they find the dead bodies of both of them. Again, we get off-camera deaths for both of these old people. But you know what? I'm kind of fine with that.
It's fine, but it's made up for when Smith walks into the bedroom.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he sees her corpse and he goes, okay. And just shuts the door and walks out.
Yeah. And then doesn't really address it with Zoe, but again, that's fine. So let's go back to the main cottage. So Mary is, basically they boarded it all up and they feel like, okay, they're now safe. They don't seem to care about their friends, whether or not they made it. But right. So Mary passes the time reading out facts about beavers. So in case you wanted to know, beavers are vegetarian, and they are monogamous.
Unlike some of us,
yeah. They also play practical jokes, and they dig tunnels.
Ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm.
Almost all of these things will pay off later, except for the vegetarianism.
Which, wouldn't it have been nice to see, like, one of them just eating a carrot?
That would have been very funny, yeah. okay, so Mary is basically trying to make things right with Jen. Sam is being his usual terrible self, though I will admit that I did get a line when he says that they can talk about why they're both attracted to him later.
Yeah.
It's such a dick line that it kind of lands with a thud because neither of the two girls react to it. Mm-hmm. But the way that he says it, where you're just like, wow, he is such an asshole. But that's also kind of funny.
I mean, it is. It's, I mean, this is the point, like, in a horror movie where it's, okay, they're trying to merge the personal drama with the actual, like, stakes of what's happening with the zombievers, or in mm-hmm. another movie, you know, this relationship drama with the serial killer coming after you. And it's just like, okay, like, I guess we're gonna do this for now, but it's still kind of funny to watch, because he's such a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, like, in any other circumstance, these people would be legitimately scared, but they would also be trying to hash it out because they're, you know, maybe on the verge of dying. And right. He never gets to the point where he actually is worried that he might not survive this encounter. And so it's kind of amusing that he's such an asshole all the way through, but it also makes his comeuppance that much more satisfying.
Yes.
Yeah. But before we get to that, we need to go back to the Gregersons, because we're intercutting between the two houses. So Smith, with a Y, is just eating a piece of chicken, and he's just so straightforward when it comes to all of these interactions. So he refuses to placate Zoe with any kind of good news, because she's got Buck's foot in a plastic bag. She's putting ice on it, hoping to reattach it at the hospital. and he's basically just like, no, this is not going to happen. You know, we need to get to the hospital in the next hour.
He's like, you can't put it directly on the ice. It's going to kill the tissue, because he's apparently a smart person.
Yeah. He's a bit of an asshole, and he's obviously very conservative, but he apparently also knows a lot.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just to confirm that, yeah, they're going to have to stay the night in there. They're not going anywhere, and Buck is probably going to die. So then we go back. This is the weirdest sequence in the film to me.
Is this the werebeaver sequence?
Yes, it's where we start to find out what happens if you are scratched or bit by a zombiever.
So, shittily enough, this is in a trailer for this movie. And
because it was so surprising to me.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm glad that you did not know this was coming, because it is so funny, it's so weird, and it makes no sense. But it's also it. Your final girl getting killed, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mary has retired to the bedroom. She's taking a nap, and you see Jen comes in, and it looks like she's about to make out with Mary, and I totally thought that this was a dream sequence.
Nope.
So
no,
I thought that this was Mary's dream about, like, this is it. The moment that Jen finally comes in, she crawls on top of me, she opens her mouth, and then her face turns into a fucking zombiever, and she starts drooling onto my face.
So, but hey, here's the thing, though. Even with this reveal, any lesser movie would have made this a dream sequence. This would not be a real thing that happens in a movie. But this movie is like, no, we're fucking doing this. We're killing our final girl. We're making a were-zombiever. And that's it. But we have the line. So she comes in, and Mary's like, oh, you never cared that Sam cheated, did you? You only cared that it was me. Jen, I love you really, but I just don't think of you this way. Boom. Lesbians.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
But then, of course, we don't know, because, yeah, then we have a werebeaver, and I have to know what you thought of this when this happened.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I was disappointed because I immediately thought, oh, no, this is a dream sequence. They're going to walk it back. She's just going to wake up. And then she doesn't. And I fucking loved it.
And your comparison to Black Sheep makes sense because listeners who've never seen Black Sheep, there is definitely a were sheep in that movie. And yes, this movie clearly takes, it has to have been influenced by that. But yeah, this is,
I mean, yeah, like, it's, again, we're tackling fairly common tropes that involve, you know, situations where there's a mutation, and if somebody gets scratched or bitten, they're going to start to turn. Like, this is, I mean, really, we're playing with the tropes of zombie films. It's just that you wouldn't expect it to happen to this character, and you definitely wouldn't expect it to happen this early in the film. Like, typically, if you're going to kill your final character, you're going to wait until the very last, like, the climax, right?
Well, or when more others are dead, because at this point, Mary and Sam...
Oh, Tommy's the only one who's dead at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So your final girl is the second of five people killed in this movie.
Yeah. So at this point, we again begin intercutting back and forth between the two cottages. So we actually see that Buck is also transforming, and he attacks Smith with a Y. He bites his neck. You know, he's somehow kind of hanging upside down and, like, notching on his neck. It's really good.
But, yeah, I wasn't clear about how this was working, but, yeah. But then, like, Zoe accidentally shoots Smith in the face.
Yeah, so she accidentally kills him, and then she doesn't really manage to do anything more. She just kind of freaks out, so she runs upstairs.
Wait. No. Mm-hmm. Before she runs upstairs, she opens the front door, at which point there is a zombiever, and it slaps her foot with its tail.
Yes.
Which trips her somehow. And she collapses.
Yeah. I mean, I do love that they get in a bunch of different types of beavery tropes as well. It's not just the teeth. It's not just the wood. It's also the tail.
But, like, again, this bitch is standing there and it slaps her feet with its tail and it trips her. It, like, knocks her over. And that's when she runs upstairs.
Yeah, so then she runs upstairs. She realizes that Miss Gregerson is also going to transform. So she attempts to shoot her, but she realizes that she's run out of bullets, so she has to launch herself out of the second story window and onto the grass below.
So beautiful.
It actually looks good, too.
She launches herself out this window, and it looks phenomenal. It's so funny.
Yeah. So we cut back to the main cottage, my favorite shot of the entire film. So Mary has managed to escape from Jen. She has shut the door. She and Sam are on one side. Jen is on the other. Jen is bouncing up and down on her giant zombiever tail. It's amazing. It looks like one of those old-timey, I don't know if you would remember this, it might have been a little bit too early for you, but there was like a pogo ball kind of thing where it was like a giant inflatable ball and you would sit on a circular disc and it had handles and you would just bounce up and down on this thing.
I mean, I know what a pogo stick is.
It's kind of like that, only minus the stick, like you sit on it instead.
Huh. Okay.
They were popular for a hot minute, but it's, yeah, I highly encourage people, if you miss this, it's quite brief, but she has a giant fucking tail, and she is just bouncing up and down on it on the other side of the door. It's amazing.
Well, I have like 24 hours left on my rental, so I can watch it again.
You should definitely watch it again. Yeah. So she is there, but we've also got zombievers who are literally breaking through the floorboards, and we get a whack-a-mole sequence where they are just popping up and Sam and Mary have to whack them back down. Also amazing. Eventually, they end up having to lock themselves into the bathroom, and Mary starts to freak out. She wants to make sure that Sam doesn't have any cuts or scratches on him, so she makes him take off his shirt, and then she makes him take off his pants, and then she makes him take off his underwear, which we don't see. And it's not bad, you know?
Dude, he is a hot little douchebag.
So he demands that she reciprocates, and before you know it, they're making out. Of course, we can't have a full-fledged sex scene in the middle of this climactic moment.
Can we not? I think we could. But
you know what? They get some hot and heavy sink action, and then a zombiever rams itself into a power outlet, lights itself on fire, and then sets the curtains on fire.
This shot. It like, so it catches on CGI fire immediately upon like licking the outlet. Yes. And then it just like shuffles its way over to a curtain, and then the whole cabin's up in flames.
Yeah, and this is obviously a puppet on wheels.
Yes.
That they are just kind of slowly either pushing from underneath the floorboards or dragging with a string or something.
It's so good.
It's so good. But now for the best. So the entire cottage is now lit on fire. We are still in the bathroom with Mary and Sam. And all of a sudden, up through the floorboards bursts Jen. And she just literally bites off Sam's penis.
And there is so much, like, tendons. So many
and
tendons.
Blood, and just, yeah.
I mean,
and, like, it doesn't really linger on it. Like, you very clearly know what's happened.
Yeah.
You get enough to see that he is in absolute agony. He begins to fall over, and then Mary just runs out of there, and you know that that's the end of Sam, but it's so satisfying.
It is, it is up there with that Hostel 2, like, whatever, castration thing. It's so good, and he's done after this,
he's
right?
Like, done.
We don't even see him again. And how fitting.
Yeah. The cheater gets his dick bitten off.
This Disney Channel show star, I'm using the word star loosely because I don't know, like, I've never heard of this Zeke and Luther show, but he was Zeke, I think. Maybe Luther. But
so he was one of the two of them.
He was one of them, and I'm sure people know who he is. So younger listeners, if you are familiar with Hutch Dano, please let us know, and let us know what you thought about his dick getting eaten off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did it amuse you? Did it excite you? Did it amuse and then excite you? Let us know. Okay, so he dead, and at this point, we've got a half-clothed Mary running around this lit-up cottage, and then a truck just barrels through the front of it, and she is nearly run over. This is being driven by Zoe, who is, at this point, literally the only other person left alive in the film.
Which, at the beginning of this movie, Zoe and Mary left alive at the end. Like, that's not something that you would have
absolutely not. No. Wouldn't have predicted it. I would have lost a lot of money in a betting game. So Mary jumps in the truck. They peel out of there. They get shot at by Smith with a Y. They end up barreling into a tree. All of the humans begin to crawl all over the truck, including the fucking bear.
I wrote a were bear beaver, a were zom bear beaver. Where's zom bear ver?
I mean, I love that you keep trying to put where in here, despite the fact that the title of the movie tells you it's zom.
Well, no, I know, but it's because if you get bit by something and you like start. I guess that makes sense. Okay. Well, anyway, but this
31 is going to be a great year for you, babe.
This bear has a fucking beaver tail and the beaver teeth.
Oh, my God. I mean, and of course, like we've been saying, these teeth are so fucking fake looking.
Oh, yeah.
The tails actually kind of look okay, but you're not seeing a lot of them. But the teeth, Like, imagine giant zombie...
Beaver teeth
on a bear who kind of looks like he's humping the back of the truck.
Yep, that describes this scene.
So the girls are properly freaked out. They manage to get the truck back into drive and they peel out of there. They almost get hit by another falling tree, which is hysterical because I can't remember. I think it's Mr. Gregerson and a zombiever.
Yes, have been like... No, they've been chewing down the tree. Well, no, because the scene earlier when Tommy gets hit by the tree, it cuts to zombievers at the tree, like, snickering and, like, laughing at what they just did. Because, again, yes. One of the facts about beavers is that they're practical jokers.
Yes. Yeah. So in this case, they tried to do the same thing, but they miss. The girls manage to get by with the truck before the tree falls. And you just see this look of disappointment between Mr. Gregerson and the zombiever. And it's kind of adorable.
It's so good.
Yeah. So the tree that was originally blocking the highway is still there. So we have to get out of the truck and we have to go around. We see a brief shot of Tommy, who is still under the tree. He has not moved.
Wait, did you miss them running over Jen?
Oh, yes. Sorry, it is in my notes. Yes. So before we see Mr. Gregerson and the zombiever, Jen shows up on the truck. Roof. Let me try that again.
No, it's like a real Penny and Scream situation.
Yes. So she's on the roof of this truck, and then Zoe hits the brake. She falls off the hood onto the road. She stands up, and then Zoe just runs her over.
And then delivers the line, "I never liked that bitch anyway."
That is some cruel shit right there.
Which puts the entire rest of the movie in an entirely different context.
Like, what did Jen ever do to you, Zoe?
I never liked that bitch anyway.
I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures, but still, it's she was so your funny. Friend.
God.
Okay, so they have to go on foot. So they're walking, the dawn is breaking, and then Mary pulls her gun on Zoe because she is suddenly worried that she has scratches because, of course, Zoe is covered in blood from when she went out a second-story window.
Yep.
So Zoe begins to plead for her life. She says, "No, I haven't been cut. I had to jump out a window." And then all of a sudden, Mary fucking turns, and Zoe has to hack her to death with the axe. So this was another great reversal because you really thought that Mary was just going to be a dumb bitch and she was going to shoot Zoe for no reason, Night of the Living Dead style, and instead, Mary is the one who turns and she dies.
And your final girl is Zoe.
Zoe.
In this movie.
The slutty, bitchy one. Which again, the minute this happened, oh, I see why Trace likes this movie.
Yep. No, I mean, most of the humor, there are some jokes that fall flat. Admittedly, like, any comedy will. Most of the jokes in this movie, like, fucking, like, kill me.
Yeah, there's a good hit-miss ratio. Like, the hits are quite a bit stronger than the misses.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're almost done. So Zoe limps down the road. She sees a truck coming in the distance, so she begins to flag it down. Unfortunately, this is where we cut to the inside, and lo and behold, it's motherfucking Joseph and Luke, the pair of idiots who got this whole thing started. Joseph is still on his phone and not paying attention, so even though Luke says, "You see the girl on the road?" and Joseph's like, "Uh-huh," and Luke's like, "Okay, I'm gonna trust you," they do not, and the final image of the film proper is just Zoe on the verge of getting mowed down by this truck, which is about a half a foot away from her.
And yeah, and then it just cuts to the title card, Zombievers, and then we get just the Zombievers, Zombievers. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the bloopers.
And the blooper reel.
The bloopers are very funny.
Yeah. So this goes on for a while, and I had actually turned my TV off, so it was just playing on my computer that's hooked up to the TV, and then all of a sudden I see, oh, there's something else. So folks, if you did not stick around for the end of this, there is a sequel stinger, and it involves...
Literally a stinger!
Ba-da-ba-bing! We see an infected bee returning to a hive of bees, suggesting that the zombiever plague will go airborne.
And we are gonna get zombies.
Two.
Yeah. Zombievers : zombies. Two.
Yeah. Sadly, that does not happen. I don't think a film that only makes $54,000 can afford a sequel.
It's, I mean, and granted, I feel like that'd be harder to pull off. I don't need a sequel to this. It's, y'all, I know this was a fluff episode, but it's my birthday. And I'll fluff if I want to.
Cut us some fucking slack, Jesus.
It's, this, I'm, this movie is so funny. I will show this to anyone, because I'm just like, if I tell you you're going to watch a movie called Zombievers, you're going to be like, what the fuck, Trace? And then when I show it to you, you're going to be like, oh shit, this is hilarious.
And it really is. This is the kind of movie where, yeah, you either get a bunch of booze or you maybe get some weed juice, as Anthony from Gaylords would say.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of rowdy friends over. You stick this on as your midnight marathon movie. This movie kills with a crowd. Like, I was actually very disappointed to have watched it by myself. I had an amazing time. You would not believe the cackle that I let out when Sam got his dick bitten off by Jen.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, almost fell off the couch.
And the dialogue, I mean, from the moment, oh, don't worry, my daughter's a fucking bitch too. A real whore. So
good.
Yes,
so good.
We needed a fun one.
After we just fucking watched Martyrs.
I would say
we just
watched Martyrs last week. So, I mean, yes. Thank y'all for sitting through this with me. I hope you all watched it. And if you didn't watch it, you're dead to me.
Yeah, but fuck you.
That's okay. I know. Joe fucking watched this for me. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, Joe. I'm really glad. I was really worried, and that you did enjoy it is, you know, I still want to do the show with you. I was worried.
Good. Okay. This was the litmus test. It could have been make or break. Mm-hmm. This could have been the very end.
Absolutely. Well, do we have anything else to add before we move into housekeeping?
No. I mean, I would honestly just say, yeah, if the title scared people away, I really hope that they did give it a chance. But I would also like to hear from people. So if you did watch this movie, whether you watch it for the first time or this is your fifth or 50th, I would like to know what you think is the funniest moment from this film.
Ooh, yeah. And actually, if you don't like it, what, like, is it just that you think it's trying too hard? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I'm legitimately curious, because I watch this movie and I just think this is just a fucking blast for me. This is a drunk movie. This is, as Joe said, a weed juice movie. It's just delightful. And it is. It's a movie that's made for me, which is why I give it 5 stars, because obviously I know this is not a 5-star movie. I'm not fucking stupid, but it's just so perfect at what it's trying to do.
Yeah. So. And honestly, the number of films that set out to do something like this and just fail spectacularly because they're too on the nose, they're too desperate, they're too inside baseball. Like, this film is so clever at what it is trying to do, despite the fact that it is not trying to be more ambitious than just a really shitty B movie.
You can see sci-fi doing a movie called Zombievers.
Oh, yeah.
It's not gonna, you're gonna have really shitty CGI Zombievers, but like, it's also gonna be real bad dialogue. And this dialogue, again, your mileage may vary, works for me, like 90% of the time.
Well, and I think this is also playing to your cast strength. The fact that these people clearly know each other, get along well, I think they probably fine-tune the dialogue so that it sounds better coming out of their mouths.
Right.
Like, I could see a sci-fi version of this with, I mean, God bless her, but can you imagine Tara Reid in the Zoe role or something like that? It would be bad, right?
Well, because Tara Reid would look like she didn't want to be there. These actors all look like they're enjoying themselves, which is big part of it.
Yeah, people are not here for the paycheck. They are here because this is clearly a silly labor of love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's all it needs to be. It doesn't need to be anything more.
Well, it needed to confirm to me that Mary's a big old fucking dyke.
Yes.
Because she was. She wanted Jen's beaver.
Let us know. Is Mary a lesbian? Is Jen a lesbian? Are they beaver buddies in heaven? I don't know. Beaver buddies.
Subtitle of this episode.
Send us your worst or funniest beaver puns.
Yes, give us beaver puns.
Maybe that'll be a Patreon thing. We can, like, list them off on Patreon. That's a mini-sode.
Oh, God.
All right. Okay. Well, so, happy birthday to me. Thank you all very much for indulging me. Before we announce what we're covering next week, just some general housekeeping. If you'd like to contact us, you can visit our Horror Queers Facebook page or join our exclusive Horror Queers Facebook group. Tweet the show at Horror Queers or email us at horrorqueers@gmail.com. If you have 2 seconds, please head over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. It is my fucking birthday. And I would love...
And none of you bitches came through for me on mine.
You didn't really ask for it that well. But I'm telling you right now, I would love, more than anything, a review on Apple Podcasts of our show that's positive, preferably 5 stars, for my 31st birthday. I would love that. And if you don't do it, I'll still love you. Maybe. But I would really, really, really like it if you would. So please indulge me in that too. You have to watch Zombievers. And you have to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, and if you don't do it, you will never get to taste Trace's Zombiever.
Is that my asshole?
I mean, I was going to let you decide, but I guess you just did.
I obviously have not tasted it, but I would like to believe that I have a very tasty asshole.
Okay, so if you next want even, week...
Wait, if you want even more content, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/horrorqueers, where you can sign up for exclusive bonus episodes covering recent horror films like Fantasy Island, which we have not seen yet, but I've heard not great things about, so we'll see how that goes. As well as an audio commentary on Valentine, which we did for Valentine's Day. Our March film will be very fun, so please go into that. But before we even get to March, Joe, what are we covering for the first... Oh, well, we're going into March. What are we covering for the first week of March, Joe?
I'm very excited for this one. So this is part of my horror bucket list. I can't believe I haven't seen it. We are traveling back to the late 80s, sticking with them practical effects, Trace.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch The Blob.
I love this movie. It's so fun. We will have a guest, and it is a Bloody Disgusting regular, so y'all should be excited. But yes, Joe has never seen this, never seen it, listener, holy shit.
Yeah, I am going to rip apart the Scream Factory Blu-ray that we have, because... there's like about a million hours of extras on that thing.
I will not be doing that. I'm just going to watch it. But that's great.
Well, fair enough then.
All right. Yes. Yeah, so watch The Blob for next week. And on that note, we can cross out Zombievers.
Zombievers. Oh, yeah. And, cross out Horror Queers.
Okay. I'll try it. We'll see how this goes. Zombievers, Zombievers. You hear your sweetheart scream. She tells you why you don't believe her. She saw one in the bathroom. It's no lie, it's a Zombiever. Contaminated by toxic goo, a random genetic mistake. They're semi-aquatic, they're hungry for you. Boys and girls, stay away from the lake. Zombievers, 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 Zombievers. A cheerful gang of college students think they're on vacation. Instead, they're dodging beaver chompers and facing their damnation. Don't board up the doorways and windows, my friend. It won't do any good. These furry brown bastards are fully equipped and they'll chew right through your wood. Say goodbye to your golden retriever, Zombievers, Zombievers. So brace yourself, you've never witnessed rodents quite like these. Oh Jesus Christ, you can't escape, they've blocked the road with trees. Check your bodies for scratches, you can't be too careful, their claws are a cause for concern. Yes, once you're infected, it's only a matter of time before you turn into Zombievers. Spoiler alert. Zombievers! Look out, they're coming through the walls! Your girlfriend's chewing off your balls! Zombievers! 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 Zombievers, baby.
Disgusting Podcast Network, home of creepy, disturbing, and terrifying creepypastas, SCP archives, weekly full cast storytelling, horror queers, genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective, and the Boo Crew, horror-centric interviews. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.